The sermon title today is Confess to Profess. Confess to Profess. The word confession in the Bible is multifaceted. It involves acknowledging both sin and faith. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am convicted of the need in my life to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Turn with me to John chapter 16 and verse 7 today. We looked at this scripture in CE this morning. We turn to it now, and we're going to be there briefly, and then we are going to move on. But turn with me to John chapter 16, John chapter 16 and verse 7. And verse 7 says this of John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper," who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not know me." The sin of not knowing Jesus is what keeps you out of heaven. It's not smoking, it's not drinking, it's not doing this, it's not doing that. The sin of not knowing Jesus is what keeps you from walking on the streets of glory, and everyone needs to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We use that term in Sunday school this morning. We are fishers of men. If you catch him, he'll clean them. Through the work of sanctification, he does that cleansing in all of our lives. Every believer today at one time was an unbeliever that had the greatest revelation of God revealed to them the need for Jesus in their lives. The greatest revelation of God in your life is when you recognize that need for Jesus in your life. And the greatest miracle in your life from God is when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And you're going to hear the word confession that's going to come up several times today. As the scripture says, or as we said earlier, it's multifaceted. So when we look at Romans chapter 10 and we go to verse 8, Romans 10 and verse 8, and verse 8 says this, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall" what? "They shall be saved." In my heart, I recognize the need. With my mouth, I confess Christ as my Lord and Savior. Look at verse 10 again. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess. No one on this earth was born saved. You get that? No one on this earth is born saved. I believe everyone on this earth was born to be saved, but none were born saved. Look at the scripture. If you turn back to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3 and verse 23, and it simply says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. You cannot be good enough on your own to be brought it back into a relationship with your Heavenly Father. We have all been alienated from God because of sin. And there's only one way back. It's not because you pay a lot more in tithes. It's not because your church attendance is so much better than anybody else. The only way that you're brought back into a relationship with your Heavenly Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And until that happens in your life, you're the walking dead. You're alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. But look at verse 24. But verse 24 says this, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But through God's amazing grace, we can be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. We do not have anything. The Scripture says that our righteousness is as what? As filthy rags. I bring nothing to the table. I can't be good enough. I can't give enough. There's nothing that I can do on my own because the Lord Jesus Christ did it for each and every one of us on Calvary when He took our sins to the cross with Him. Now, if we turn to John chapter 6 and verse 44, there's a lot of scripture today, but it's all really, really good. And many of these scriptures that we run across as we talk about them should be, if you believe in underlining in your Bible, should be something that you would underline because maybe someday you're going to be able to witness and share it with somebody else. But in John chapter 6, verse 44, He says this. Verse 44, I got to get there. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You get that? It is so simple and so powerful. In verse 44, it says, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him. Many people say, well, I've never been led by God. You know, I've seen this and I've seen that, but I've never had a revelation to God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you had one of the greatest revelations of God that you will ever have. And that's a revelation of the need for you in your life to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You didn't do that on your own. You didn't do that on your own. You do not choose it on your own. Jesus says, you did not choose Me, but I chose you. So in that, we do not choose to follow after the things of God. We choose to follow after the things of man. And if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart that you need to leave those things behind and you need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that is one of the greatest revelations you will ever have in your whole entire life. No one on this earth was born saved. But I believe that everyone on this earth was born to be saved. We've all sinned. Everyone falls short. But through the grace of God, we can be brought into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He is the one that draws us and draws us to Him. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 16. John 15 and verse 16. In verse 16, it says this. You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you. But look at the very first portion of verse 16. You did not choose Me, but I chose you. Through the flesh, you and I would never choose God. Listen to me. You might recognize there's things in your life that need to change. You will go to all the self-help magazines and all the self-help books that you can possibly read that you're going to change. I need to change my behavior. I need to modify my behavior. I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. But you, on your own, are never going to bring change in your life. The way to bring change in your life is through the power of the Holy Spirit as you're led by the Spirit back into a relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's never God that the flesh chooses. Only through the Spirit do we recognize the need for Jesus. God draws us into that wonderful embrace of salvation. There is no greater miracle that will ever take place in your life than that day when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The miracle of salvation. Now turn back with me to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to go back to verse 3. We didn't read verse 3 before. So we go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I know it's warm in here, but you just have to think Pastor Leo's a lot hotter than I am. In verse 3, it says, Romans 10, verse 3, for then they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish what? Their own righteousness. Well, I know I can be saved. I will do this. God loves everybody. God's a love. God is love. And because He loves everybody, I'm a good person. Because I'm a good person, I do the right things. I did the right things with my family. I know I'm going to be accepted in heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. He says, you're trying to establish your own righteousness, and you cannot. You cannot do it on your own. Look what he goes on to say. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And you know who the righteousness of God is? His name is Jesus. Before we came to Christ, we established our own righteousness. You decided what was right. You decided what was wrong. You decided what was the right way to live, and you decided what was the wrong way to live. To please God, you thought in your own life for eternal life. Listen in this scripture in the NLT. I'll get it out. This is how it reads in the NLT. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself, refusing to accept God's way. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law, or you're trying to keep your own standard. There are thousands, and this is what's sad, brother and sister, and this is why your church is growing, and this is why other churches do not grow. There are thousands, if not millions, in church today. Say that again. There are thousands, if not millions, of people that are in church today that are not saved. Grandma and grandpa went to that church. Mom and dad went to that church. I think it's a good idea for me to take my family to that church. To them, church is a social club. They look at it no differently than the Lions Club, the JCs, or the Elks Club. They have established their own righteousness. That's why churches are closing. Well, we see it on Facebook. Nola sent me a picture this week. On Facebook, there's about two or three ads of pews that you could buy. Pews, some of you didn't even have to buy. All you had to do was go pick them up. And why is that? Because that church is closing. When we see those ads, it should make us feel sad. Those churches are closing, and there's churches closing all around us, and there's churches that are closing all over the United States. And the reason why they are closing is because the Holy Spirit has left that building. The Holy Spirit is no longer in that place. This church needs more than anything else. It doesn't need Pastor Leo. It doesn't need Pastor Carol. This church needs more than anything else the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit brings changes into people's lives. The power of the Holy Spirit draws people into the congregation. The power of the Holy Spirit draws them off Highway 5 and lands them in this church. It's by His power, His authority. That's why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of the salvation. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is needed more than anything else. And the only way people are going to find Him is through the drawing and convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're in a church, it's a social club, there's no drawing, there's no power, there's nothing that's drawing people to the Heavenly Father, they cannot find Jesus in that right in that place. They need the Word of God, then they need the power of God coursing through their life, drawing them to the altar to find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We turn to Romans chapter 1. You're almost there anyway. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes." Now listen to me. What we started out here talking about today is talking about the word confession. And that it is multifaceted. So there is confession. When we confess and agree to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, throughout the rest of our life, we will make confession of our sin, but we will also confess to profess. And that's something that many Christians leave out on. They confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior when they accepted Him that day. And there's no doubt in my mind that they are saved. But they leave this place and it's almost like they are Christian incognito. The only time they live their Christian life is when they are in the church and they're around other saints. Brother and sister, the world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the only way they're going to get it is by us professing our faith into the world and into the people around us. We know Christ, we must confess Him. Throughout our lives, we find out we still fall short, and I will confess my sins to Him. I need to do it daily. But we said in the beginning today that confession was multifaceted. Confessing in the Bible also refers to us professing our faith. Professing is declaring our faith. You see, we think that praise is only when we are singing or lifting our hands to God. You say, well, we had a wonderful praise service today because people were really touched by the Spirit and they were praising God and they were lifting their hands. And you could really feel the movement of the Spirit. But listen to me. The highest praise that you can ever give to God is when you're professing your faith to others. Just think about that for a minute. We can come in here and get all excited and touched by His Spirit and we're praising God. But the highest praise that you can give to God is when you're going out there and you're saying, my Heavenly Father says this. The Word says this. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That's the highest praise that you can give to your Heavenly Father is when you profess your faith in Him to other people. Because you're standing out in the world and you're confessing it. I know that your kids and your grandkids, many times they look to their dads, they look to their grandpas, and you see them and they'll do something like you did, and they do something like you would do it, and man, your heart just swells up because this makes you feel so proud. Yeah, that's the way I would have done it. They were saying the same things that I would have said. And I've heard kids say, well, my dad says this or my dad says that. I'm telling you today, church, my dad says what the Word of God says. And my dad says to the world, they must accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I am not ashamed of that. And that is the highest praise that we can give God today. Hallelujah. Look with me. We're almost done. It's still early. You're not hot yet. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Matthew 10 verse 32. In Matthew 10 verse 32 it says this, Therefore whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Many, many years ago, when Pastor Carol and Pastor Leo were called to the ministry, and we had a wonderful preacher. And it wasn't because he's all fired up. He would just stand there. He wouldn't move. But if you would just listen to him, he would teach you and teach you and teach you the Word of God. And through that ministry, there were five people that came to be called to the ministry. But you know, there was one of those individuals that was called to the ministry. I had worked with him at 3M for years and never knew he was even a Christian. I pray and believe that whoever you're around, if you're around them for a very long period of time, they know that you love the Lord Jesus. That's what we do. We profess our faith to other people. But him, it was like, well, this is my church life, but this is my regular and my social life. And I thought, how is that ministry ever going to go if you're unwilling to share your faith with other people? If we not only profess our faith when we accept Jesus, but at every opportunity through our lives, we profess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. We've got a couple more scriptures to go through. In verse 14, it says this, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Profess your faith to other people. Too many Christians only let the Christian come out in them when they're at church. We live in a lost and dying world, and you have the answer. You get it? You have the answer. You should never be ashamed because of your faith in Jesus. It's like, well, somebody would say, well, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I go to church. It should be, hallelujah, I love God. Jesus has changed my life from the inside out, and He's still doing a work in my life. And you know what? He wants to do that work in your life as well if you will only let Him do it. Amen. Boy, that's a different testimony, isn't it? Than just hiding our faith. profess your faith to others. We live in a lost and dying world, and we have the answer. Profess your faith. Allow the Holy Spirit to draw others as you were drawn. Now, one last scripture, and then we're going to close today. But turn with me to John chapter 4. I want to show you the example of one that went out and professed their faith. So turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 25. It's the woman at the well. Many of you are very, very familiar with this story. It's a wonderful story. Wonderful story. And you'll see in the scripture, the very first evangelist was a woman. But when you look at John chapter 4 and you go to verse 25, so verse 25 of John 4, I got to get there myself. He says, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews, you say that in Jerusalem, the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour has coming, when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship our Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." Now go down to verse 39. In verse 39, so this is after the story. "And many of the Samaritans," she went into the city. "You've got to come see this guy. He changed my life. He saw things that I didn't, no one else could even know. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, because she was professing her faith. Amen. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And listen, and many more believed because of his own word." Now listen, look, you gotta, guys, you gotta have this misnomer in here, because a guy's never gonna get a woman credit. If he comes to find Jesus, but she found Jesus first, do you think he's gonna give her any credit? No, I'm a man, I did this all on my own. Well, look at what it says here. In verse 42, "And they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Let me tell you about somebody. Let me tell you about somebody that changed my life. And his name is Jesus. And if only you will give your heart to Him, listen to the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit, He will change your life. Jesus says that He came that we would have life abundantly and even more abundantly. And we praise God for that abundant life. He came to give us life, and life abundant. Is your life abundant today? Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you're one of those people, you know, Mom and Dad went there, and I thought it was a good thing for me to do. But you have never been drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit, and is nothing to be ashamed of. It is nothing to be ashamed of. And you recognize from the ministry today and from the ministry of the Word, not from what Leo said, but what the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart right now, that you need to make that conscious decision. I've gone to church. I've been in church. But I've never publicly confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to know that someday I'm going to walk on the streets of gold. I'm going to walk on the streets of glory. I want to make that decision today. Is that you?